If you would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, we'll be starting off there, and then we're going to be in the book of Acts as well quite a bit today. But we'll start in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses, then I'll say a word of prayer for us today from Ephesians 1. Now, as you're turning there and finding that, it's right after Galatians where we've been studying. I'm going to go ahead and give you a few announcements for today. As you guys know about the offerings and the way that you can give your offerings through the drop box that's in the front hallway, you can do that online through our website or through the church app. We do ask that please no food or drinks on this side of the building on the carpeted areas. We're starting to get several stains over here. We want to try to be good stewards of what we have. If you want, of course, water is fine, but spills happen. We just ask you to please be thoughtful of that. Today, we're going to ask the children to please remain on the gym side of the building unless there is adult supervision over here. Rather than kids running all over the building after the meal, we really need adult supervision in places where kids are going to be for everyone's sake. So if the kids, if y'all see that that's not that way over here, then you need to be over on the gym side. We'll be having small groups after our morning service, and that'll start about 10:45. And we want to try to let out by around 11:40 if our small group leaders could do that so that we can start our fellowship meal. Okay? There is one more need out there that we need to mention. The teacher for Miss Joy Simmons' class, my wife was supposed to fill in, but she had to stay home with Joy this morning. So we need somebody to fill in for that class. If there's a lady or a couple of ladies who wouldn't mind doing that or would like to help out with that, then please, I guess, let me know after the service, and we'll get you pointed in the right direction. But we need a volunteer to fill in for that class if somebody would be so inclined to do so. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read this, verses 1 and 2, and then I'll go to the Lord in a quick word of prayer today. The Bible reads like this at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, the work of God is that we would believe on your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray. I pray, dear God, that we would be taught by God this morning. Lord, I know that if we are only taught by man, then Lord, ultimately, your word's not going to make any difference in our lives. But God, when we're taught by you, that's when our lives are changed. That's when we become convinced. So, Father, I simply want to try to preach and teach your word this morning. But, Lord, I know and confess today that it is your spirit, it is your working, God, that we are dependent upon. We call out to you today. I call out to you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Praying and asking, Lord, that you would work in our midst through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at today foundations for Ephesians. We're going to get started here in our study. Go ahead and get started in our study for this book. And really we're going to do something of a kind of a New Testament overview. Help us to perhaps remember some things that we have forgotten or to learn some things for the first time. Because the congregation is diverse in our maturity, levels of maturity and understanding about the Bible and about the Lord. There are some of you who have been sitting in these pews for years, and you have a lot of these things in your heart and mind already when it comes to understanding the Bible. However, folks who are like that, just like me, I forget sometimes some of those things, and I need to be reminded of them. And there are also folks here who don't know some of the things that we might go over this morning. So we want to try to teach as well so that folks have knowledge, understanding, and ultimately wisdom to be able to apply God's Word to our life. So we're going to start with foundations for Ephesians. In verse 1, you see there Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is not anything uncommon that Paul would say here. It's very similar to what he says in some of the other epistles. And he is writing to the saints. The saint is a
called out one, it's someone who's been set aside to be holy. So in other words, it's a Christian, it's someone who's been separated unto God. You are, if you are in Christ, having been saved by the grace of God through the gospel, then you are a saint. So he is writing to the saints who are in Christ Jesus and faithful, the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. He gives a standard greeting saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's really two main aspects of these verses that I want to focus on this morning to make sure we have a pretty clear understanding on this. The first one is the Apostle Paul and the other is the city of Ephesus. Now, I want to show you, first of all, with this little diagram that I have found online and help you see where the book of Ephesus kind of fits into the New Testament. It's important that we get this, because if we don't, you might be kind of wondering, how does all this fit together? This is kind of random, isn't it? But if you'll look at this timeline, you'll see here that on the top level, you got your Gospels and the book of Acts. These make up the history books, okay? These are your history books in the New Testament. Now, on the bottom of this timeline, you see at 30 AD, which would be, you see the cross there, that obviously represents the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ when he would have died. And then after that, on the timeline, you find the letters of the New Testament along with the Revelation. Here you have the Pauline epistles, all the letters that Paul wrote, and then you have what's called general epistles and Revelation. This consists of James, 1st, 2nd Peter, Hebrew, Jude, and then the Johns and Revelation. In particular, we're going to look at this part because you notice in the book of Acts, in the history of the book of Acts, some of these letters were written. In other words, you're reading through the book of Acts, you know that Paul, during that time frame at certain points, is writing the letters that you're going to read later on in the New Testament. Okay, so you got Acts, then Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and so forth. Now, we just studied the book of Galatians. We just finished that up, and you notice here that that was one of the earliest letters that Paul wrote. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were also written early on. And then you have the Corinthians and Romans. And then we have Ephesians that we're coming to today. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were written way down here in the 60s when Paul would have been in prison in Rome. So that makes these letters the prison epistles. Okay? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison, so that makes them the prison epistles. He wrote that near the end of his life, most likely, and sent that back to the church in Ephesus. Okay, so that sort of lays that out. Now let's begin to look here at the Apostle Paul. I have a few things that I want to go over with you here. First of all is this. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. And there are handouts. If anybody needs a handout, there are plenty in the back. Hope that you received one when you came in. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. So there are 27 books in the New Testament. That means he wrote almost half of the books or letters that are found there. Or books that are found in the New Testament. Number two, Paul is originally known as Saul in Acts chapter 7. Now, if you want to turn back in the book of Acts, we're going to be glancing at a few verses together this morning, and you can be back that direction if you would like to. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, it says there, "And they cast him out of the city, that being Stephen, and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." All right, so Paul, that you so often hear about, was first Saul. And if you're new to New Life Baptist Church, I want you guys to know that we don't just study the 13 letters of Paul. It just so happens we just finished up Galatians. We're going into Ephesians. In the New Testament, I mean, in the Brother David's Sunday School class and Brother John's, they're going through the book of Romans. If you go over to the young adult class, we're studying 2 Timothy, all these written by the Apostle Paul. if you haven't been coming on Wednesday night, that you're unaware that we just finished up studying 1 Peter, okay? So we're not Paulites, all right? We're not trying to follow the Apostle Paul, but he obviously was following the Lord and wrote these letters that went into the New Testament. So he was first known as Saul. Paul is converted to Christianity in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Did everybody know that already, that it was Acts chapter 9? Okay, we need to be getting that stuff in our brain right there. Acts chapter 9. Somebody says the conversion of Paul, bam, Acts chapter 9 should pop up in your head. You should know that. That's exactly where that happened. And next, before his conversion, Paul persecuted the church. He persecuted the church. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3, if you're over in the book of Acts, you can look at it with me. But he says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. That's just one of the texts that talks about Paul and the persecution which he unleashed upon the church in the early days. Why a name change? You ever wondered that about Paul and his name? Why a name change? First of all, Saul is a Hebrew name, and it's the same as King Saul. So it's a regal name. It's a name that has a great deal of meaning behind it. When the Jews would think about Israel, knowing that King Saul was the first God-appointed king in Israel. So Saul had this Hebrew name that was a regal name. It was a name with a great deal of meaning and history behind it. Paul is a Roman name and means little. Now, in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, the scripture says, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him." So Saul's name, it's not that the Lord Jesus changed his name, but apparently Saul had a name, had the Hebrew name Saul, but he as a Roman citizen also had a Roman name. And his Roman name would be Paul, or was Paul. So as he begins to go out into the world, rather than carry with him and go by the name Saul, which has all this history with King Saul in the Old Testament, he decides to go by his Roman name, Paul, which appropriately for Paul and his mindset means little. In the book of Ephesians later on, believe it or not, Paul is going to say of himself that he is less than the least of all the saints. Can you imagine that? He wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, yet he said he is less than the least of all the saints. So it's appropriate, knowing Paul's mindset of himself and how Christ is to be magnified in his life, that he would rather be humbled, going by the name Paul, that means little, rather than the name Saul. All right, the city of Ephesus. Let's go to that next. Paul stayed 2 years in Ephesus. We'll see that in Acts chapter 19. There was an amphitheater there that would seat around 25,000 people there in this city of Ephesus. You see, some would suggest 25,000, others would say 50,000. It's called the Grand Theater there in Ephesus, and from what I understand, it is still standing. There also had, within the city, the Great Temple of Diana. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was the capital city of the province of Asia. And Timothy was pastor in Ephesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes to him while he is in Ephesus, pastoring the church there. And it's one of the seven churches of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. They are the ones, you ever heard the phrase or the passage, "You've lost your first love," or "left your first love"? It was to this church, the church in Ephesus, that Jesus was saying that to them. He was saying, now I want to give you a little rundown. I have some maps up here. I know you folks in the back can't see this. Grant, would you grab that light? A little New Testament overview here. I found this new source. I don't know that I agree with everything about the website, but I'm digging their maps, okay? I really like their maps a lot. So you can look up here and see this. This is Paul's first missionary journey. And right here is the city of Antioch. All right? Now, Acts chapter 13 is where the Holy Spirit set aside Paul and Barnabas for mission work. And Antioch, rather than Jerusalem, is the hub from which mission work goes out in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Every time Paul ends a missionary journey, it's because he came back to Antioch. And then when he goes out, that started missionary journey number two, or missionary journey number three. We'll see that. So here's where he goes, starting with in Antioch. He goes this way and goes to Antioch of Pisidia, and then we're here in Galatia. This whole region in green is Galatia, and Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch of Pisidia are in Iconium, in Galatia, and that's the churches that Paul likely wrote the book of Galatians to, the churches of Galatia. And then he would return back to Antioch right there. So let's go to his second missionary journey. Second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. He leaves from Antioch again. Let's see, pressing the wrong buttons. Leaves from Antioch again, and he goes back through Galatia, and you notice now he's in Asia. All right? It's here that Paul wanted to go down into Asia in Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 16, but the Holy Spirit would not permit him to do so. All right, the Bible says in Acts 16:16, now when he had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, that seems like the way to go. You know, Paul's here in this area, and it would seem natural to go down in here and start preaching the gospel to all these important cities. But rather than that happening, the Holy Spirit would not allow him to do so, but rather he kept going across, and then he wanted to go into Bithynia, right here, the Bible says in Acts 16. But again, the Spirit would not allow him to do so. But he got to Troas, and then he heard or got a vision from a man in Macedonia. So Paul went over into Macedonia, and here he preached the gospel in Philippi. He preached the gospel in Thessalonica. He preached the gospel in Corinth. All of these cities that he would later write letters back to. Okay? Now, what's interesting? Paul is sailing back, going back to Antioch, and where does he visit? Can y'all see that? Ephesus. But he doesn't stay there. If you'll look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 20. Acts 18, verse 20. We'll start at verse 19. Acts 18, verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And he, when he landed in Caesarea, had gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. Okay? So this is the end of Paul's second missionary journey. He visited Ephesus for a brief time, but he had an appointment he had to keep in Jerusalem, so he had to leave. But he said what? God willing, I will come back to you. Paul was a man of his word. In this next map, we see Paul again leaving from Antioch, and he makes his way straight over to where? Ephesus. And then he stayed there in Acts chapter 19. He stayed there for 2 years. Imagine that. That's a long time, isn't it? Can you imagine going somewhere and staying there for 2 years? Paul stayed in Ephesus for 2 years and preached the gospel to them. The Bible says in Acts 20, he did it publicly and from house to house. And he taught them everything that was helpful. Y'all remember what it was last week? Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So he preached the gospel to them and did that faithfully for 2 years. Paul, after going to Ephesus, then makes his way back around to these churches, comes back through, and then ultimately ends back up over in Jerusalem where he's going to be arrested. And finally, this is just another little map showing Paul's last journey where he ends up in Rome. And this is where Paul would have likely written the book of Ephesians from, here in Rome. All right, let's see what happened in Ephesus. We got a couple of minutes, so we're going to finish up here. Thank you, Grant. In Acts chapter 19, there's three things that happen. In verses 1 through 10, we see, first of all, the ministry in Ephesus. Ministry in Ephesus. This is where he encountered 12 disciples of John the Baptist, and he asked them an interesting question in verse 2. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" This is very similar to what he taught the Galatians and what he brought back to the Galatians' memories about their receiving the Holy Spirit. So he asked them that question. They had not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit because they had only followed the teaching of John the Baptist. And then they were baptized again. They spoke in tongues, and there in verses 1 through 10. And Paul was continuing to go back into the synagogue and teach, but if you'll look at verse 8, we'll read 8 through 10. It says in verse 8, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus." Tyrannus was either a Jewish rabbi who had like a private synagogue where he instructed people, or he was a philosopher and a rhetorician of that day, a Greek rhetorician of that day, and had a school for that. Verse 10, it says, "And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Now if you'll look at this, it said there, look at it, and we're going to end here. Verse 10, "And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus." In other words, God ordained that Paul be in that city right there, Ephesus, which is a capital city, it's a port city, and through that city, all Asia would hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul wanted to go there early on, but the Holy Spirit did not permit him. But later, Paul put him right where he needed to be so that all that area could hear the word of the Lord. As we conclude this morning, I want to ask you a question. You've heard of the word of the Lord. You've heard the same gospel that Paul preached. You've heard it here in this pulpit. And my question to you is, are you like those in verse 9? "But when some were hardened and did not believe," are you hardened toward the gospel? Are you unbelieving toward the gospel? I know that many of you believe the gospel and hold fast to that truth, and your hope is in Christ. But today, it may be that you, for the first time in your life, have realized, hey, that gospel is something that I need. It was worth Paul dying for, it was worth for him sacrificing his life. He went and proclaimed it, and as we will see, it made a drastic difference in the world. But the question is, has it made a difference in your life? Today, I would admonish you, believe this gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again. Through that, it is the power of God unto salvation, if you will but believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word and thank you for this history that we have in Acts. Lord, of the church growing, really the works and acts of the Holy Spirit through believers. And God, I thank you that you're still working and you're still adding to your church daily those who are being saved. God, I pray that there would be those who would be saved today. Lord, through this gospel of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the only gospel that is able to save lost men, women, boys, and girls. Give us faith, Lord, today. Give us repentance from sin. Give us the courage, Lord, and grace that we need to look unto Jesus and to be delivered from our transgressions. I thank you for our time together this morning and for the study that we've had in your word. In Jesus' name.